to the Vocal Fries podcast, the podcast about linguistic discrimination.
I'm Megan Figueroa.
And I'm Carrie Gillen.
And I'm Corey Stamper.
We have a live episode. The sausage is being made in front of others.
Sorry,
the
y'all.
Secrets are out. Yeah. Saying that right away off the bat, it reminds me of the title of the episode that we did with you in 2021, the moist tellet.
The moist tellet of podcasts.
Right. It's just lots of visceral images or feelings coming up with the words that we use with you, Corey.
Yeah, that's me. I'm very visceral. I like that within the first minute of this episode, we have used the word moist and we have used sausage.
Exactly. So like, oh, God.
Everyone's gone at this point. No one will listen past this point.
Yep. Nice. Absolutely. I mean, why would you? But here's why you would, because let me do a little intro to our friend Corey. Corey Stamper is a lexicographer. Well, freelance lexicographer. Do you prefer?
Either is fine. I don't care. I'm not currently on staff anywhere right now. I'm just freelancing for places now.
Okay. But author, speaker, speechwriter, and she's the author of Word by Word, The Secret Life of Dictionaries, which is fabulous. Working on like 10 other books right now.
Yeah. So bad.
And you're one of the talking heads on the history of swearing. Is it? No, history of swear words.
History of swear words.
Here's your swear words on Netflix, which if you haven't seen it at this point,
go watch it.
Yes, go watch it. Stop embarrassing yourself by not having seen it. It's fantastic. So we're actually celebrating our 5th anniversary.
Yeah.
I know. But when we were talking about what to do, we were like, okay, we should have a guest. Because that's kind of, our thing at this point. Your name immediately. I was like, oh my God, we got to have Corey.
Yeah.
Just immediately. And for some reason, Carrie, do you even remember why we were both like, let's talk about bullshit?
No, I don't actually remember. I just remember us talking about Corey and being like, yeah, you should be a great guest. You can talk about swearers. I don't remember.
I sure can.
You sure can. I don't remember the conversation about which one. You might have just thrown it out and I've been like, yes, but I actually don't remember.
Well, you know what it was? Is because LeVar Burton was on The View or something like that.
But didn't that happen after?
No, it was right before.
Okay.
And I remember like the headlines were like, LeVar Burton slipped up on TV. What did he do? I'm like, what did he do? Did he like, and I click and it's, he said bullshit.
And right. Like, you're like, yeah.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about. And then of course he's like, I stand by what I said. Cause what did he say that was bullshit? I'm trying to remember now.
Banning of books. He called the banning of books bullshit.
Right.
100%.
Yeah. He's correct. Factually accurate statement. Yeah.
Check.
Ever a thing where, yeah, bullshit, it's certainly banning of books, right?
Totally.
What is this reaction to bullshit where we can get headlines like this and some people are actually like, oh, like, we'll actually be like, this is a problem. What, you can't say that on television.
Right. I don't know. I mean, so first, like, particularly in America, in case we have anyone who's not American listening to the podcast, you need to know that broadcast standards for profanity are an ever-moving target in the American broadcast system. So if you're on like daytime TV or like the main networks, you have this very limited number of words that you can actually say without them being bleeped. And bullshit definitely falls inside of one of those. Like, you don't get to say it. I mean, it's very funny because it really has to do with the time of day and like where it is. So really, it wasn't just that he said the banning of books was bullshit, but that he said bullshit during like a daytime TV episode. Like,
right. The View,
which is like, yeah, like soft focus programming, like that kind of thing. So, yeah.
So you say time of day, does that mean any channel could have bullshit said if it was like after 8 p.m. or something.
You know, I mean, probably not like, I don't know.
Not PBS.
Yeah, not PBS. PBS is not going to do that. No, I'm thinking like, so when I was a teenager back in the dark ages of television, I remember really clearly when I think it was NYPD Blue had the first unbleeped ass or shit on. And it was like, well, that's only because it was after 9 p.m. And that was only because children were in bed. And, you know,
another thing I've been noticing about bullshit, mm-hmm. but this is because it's cable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that CNN has been saying bullshit a lot.
Right. I mean,
because of the they're repeating, because like I think it was during the January 6th hearings.
Uh-huh.
What's his name?
So many of them.
One of them said, like, was recounting something he said, and he said, this is bullshit. And so they've been repeating this. And
was it Barr? Was it?
Yes,
Barr?
It was Barr.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I don't remember this happening even on CNN on cable news before. Is something, no. Has something been breached or a threshold been met?
Well, right. So like, I think in the last 5 years, we've seen way more or heard way more profanity, particularly in news reporting. So like the big like brouhaha was when Trump referred to shithole countries, immigrants coming from quote shithole countries.
Right.
And that ended up, shithole countries ended up in headlines in like the Washington Post and the New York Times, unedited, which violates a lot of their internal editorial standards. But because they felt like it was newsworthy, they were going to go ahead and print it anyway. So in the same way, right, the January 6th hearings are newsworthy. They are being entered into an official record, and it would feel weird then, particularly in the hearings, to do any kind of editing of profanity. But I also think that it's there is a sense where it's sort of like, this is, I hate the word, but I'm going to use it. It's unprecedented, right? These hearings are unprecedented.
They are, though.
Right.
I mean, they are. Yeah. It's so because of that, I think there's also, I think there might be an editorial decision being made to not edit out these swears, like in the reporting of the hearings, in part because this is a big deal. And so when you've got someone who's, you know, Bill Barr saying, you know, this plot to take electors is bullshit. Like that's
a big deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal. So like,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to see it in weather reports or anything like that anytime real soon, but.
Although the heat wave we're having over here is bullshit.
Yes.
I'm just going to say that.
Yeah.
Straight up bullshit.
You're not wrong.
So no, that's a good point, because in the January 6th hearings, they put like a little, I don't remember if they changed the warning, but it's like graphic content when there's going to be cussing, or if it says like vulgar, I don't remember now. I think it's just like graphic content warning.
Something like that.
To cuss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and that's different. I wonder why then, because is that on any channel? Because I've been watching it on cable news, if I've watched any of it. Is it like on PBS, the January 6th hearings? Like, I wonder if
they must be the same. Right? I don't know. I haven't been watching them because I'm like, I don't live there anymore and I can't handle this.
Good for you. Well, anyway, I've not heard bullshit so many times on television ever. And it's because of these hearings.
Yeah. Certainly not on like cable TV. So there you go.
They do have, they are showing the hearings to PBS. So
they are.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It'd be interesting to know if they're, blocking the swearing, because that is the one channel that I think they might, but I don't actually
know.
Right,
it's PBS.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, bullshit. And here's another reason before I get into like a little bit about bullshit. I was writing in Microsoft Word and I put bullshit and you know what happened? I'm sure you can guess. Little blue dotted lines underneath. And it said, vocabulary, this language may be offensive to your reader.
I mean, like, technically true.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Right.
get off my ass, like, Microsoft Word.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so I'm like, okay, I think it's silly, but I guess that's true. And some people are still offended by these words.
Right.
Like bullshit and whatever. Mm-hmm. Why? Like, can we get a little bit of history of how, why it's even a taboo word?
Sure.
And I guess it's because of shit, right?
It is because of shit. Bull. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bull, I mean, bull itself has an interesting history, but it's not vulgar. It's just like, it just has a lot of extended meanings. But yeah, it's considered offensive because of the word shit. So when we do profanity in English, there are different categories of profanity that cause offense. And scatological profanity is like a big one, right? So in English, shit compounds are almost always at least vulgar, if not offensive. And the difference, sorry, I'm using lexicographer talk. I'll talk like a real person. So like when something is offensive, when you're doing dictionary definitions, if something is offensive, that means that it actually gives offense. People take offense to things. People hear things and don't like them because they are taboo or they bring up taboos. Something that's vulgar, it's like a little bit removed from that. It's like the difference between being at the family reunion and telling like a fart joke and a sex joke. Like the sex joke would be offensive at a family reunion, but the fart joke is just distasteful. Like, we don't want to talk about that. So
that's a really good, thank you. That's a really good
metaphor. It maybe says more about my family than I should tell people, but like, welcome to my family reunions. They're very weird. So yeah, any shit compound is going to be offensive because it's scatological. And shit more than other bodily fluids, honestly, like spit doesn't, I mean, like spit is gross and a bodily fluid. And I don't want other people spit on me, but like, I don't know why we don't consider that to be currently offensive. So I think that's the main reason. Bullshit itself comes in like the middle of a long history of the word shit. And it's, so shit itself is Old English. It goes back to 1100 AD. Just refers to excrement. It's not offensive for a very long time. And then it starts becoming offensive 15th century. It starts taking on a little bit of a, like, that's distasteful. We don't talk about it, especially once we start getting other French words or Latin-based words to talk about effluvia or excrement. Those are all French and Latin-based. Then we move away from Old English. So Old English shit sort of starts compounding. Usually, like, you get some compounds back to, like, the 17th century. But bullshit itself is a pretty, it's a relatively new one. So bullshit comes in beginning of the 20th century.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's new. It's, like, pretty recent. The first use we have of it is, so there's a use of an edited bullshit in someone's name back to 1870. But because it's edited, it's just B line, S line. And it's kind of like, well, this is the problem with tracing the history of profanity also, right? Like at a certain point, certain things don't get printed. And then when you're tracing that history, you can make an educated guess, but unless it's actually written, you don't really know. Like, I don't know what B/S actually means in this case. Like, we think it might mean bullshit. We don't really know. So its first use as a noun is actually extended. So usually when words, compounds come into English, they have a literal meaning first, right? So horse shit, another shit compound, literally referred to horse dung for like a long time before it took on another meaning, a figurative meaning. But bullshit gets a figurative meaning right away. Hmm. So it's first used, I think, in 1914 in a letter by, let me pull it up, Ezra Pound to James Joyce, where Esmond is sending James Joyce something, and he encloses, he says, you know, I've enclosed some bullshit for you to read. So he's talking about something stupid, something useless, something frivolous.
Oh my God. I love this.
Isn't this great? Yeah. Ezra Pound, who knew? And then in 1915, there's another appearance of it to mean nonsense, right? So immediately bullshit comes in with this extended sense, which means that, like, to a lexicographer, that's interesting because it just means that people did not talk about horse, like cow shit, the same way that they talked about horse shit. Or so it's just interesting, right? Like, okay.
Yeah.
Is that because there was more horse shit in people's lives? Like, there are horses everywhere?
Maybe, but I think actually some of it has to do with earlier meanings of the word bull. So like, there's this, so the word bull as a verb goes to mean just like to talk idly, to say kind of nothing. That goes back to 1850. There's even an earlier sense of bull that means to sort of joke around, to make fun of, to mock somebody. And that goes back to 1532. Thomas More uses it. And in the quote is great. It is his ass-headed exclamations and all his busy bulling. So that just means like
that's amazing.
All of his like mockery. So you've got that sense that sort of, so bull from there, from 16th century, there's a noun then that comes out of that verb that means to mock, that means, you know, the noun means a joke, a jest. And then that noun keeps evolving. So then eventually it refers to a particular kind of contradiction, like a logical contradiction. And then in America, it refers to a blunder in the 1800s. And then right around the same time that bullshit shows up, bull, the noun, also comes to mean nonsense. So I think bullshit probably has this extended sense right away because bull had extended senses, you know, for hundreds of years prior to bullshit showing up.
Did you say like a bull means to that you made a blunder or whatever? So it's mostly a verb during all these times, or were people using it as a noun?
No, they were using it as a noun too. So like the blunder sense is a noun. And that shows up in the 1800s. And the first use is in the phrase, we are guilty of neither bull nor blunder. So that's an interesting, you'd think that those are two contradictory things. But if you read the whole thing in context, it's really clear that it's more of an emphatic, like a blunder or a lie or a blunder or like a mistake. There is that sense of they're similar, bull and blunder. Yeah, and the thing that's really interesting about bullshit and when it came in is that there was actually this huge boom of profanity that shows up in print in particular during the World Wars. So you get a lot of the shit compounds actually come from Air Force slang, military slang, army slang, and you start seeing that in print after the wars end, because you have all of this interesting, you know, people writing memoirs or people who are sharing letters back and forth, collections of letters from soldiers. So even in terms of what we've got available in the written record, we have like this giant boom in profanity after about 1917, 1918, 1919. You just start seeing like everywhere, lots of printed profanity.
And I usually think of this too, of like sailors.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you have like that trope of like sailors swearing so much that act, like there's also this trope of like anyone that worked the docks had like the foulest mouth. So back in the 1700s, you had the fishwives of England who were women who like collected, like bought, sold fish, worked down at the docks, but they were notoriously profane. Like whole newspaper articles and pamphlets have been written about like their horrifyingly terrible speech, you know, in that very weird voyeuristic, like, we don't like it and we think it's terrible, but we're going to tell you all about it in depth anyway. So yeah, it's so bullshit comes in 1914, and then it just kind of grows from there. We end up getting a just a bunch of extended meanings from bullshit. One is like, so if nonsense, talk, idleness is bullshit, then anything that's annoying or irritating will be bullshit, like chores, household chores are bullshit, that kind of thing. That shows up about 10 years after bullshit makes it into print. You also have this great use that shows up in the 70s, that so it refers to an argument. So like, forget this bullshit, you know, quit giving me your bullshit, that kind of thing. And that actually kind of grows then, and we're seeing a recurrence of that meaning, or an extension of that meaning, in the phrase back on my bullshit, which is like, I think that first came in, well, I know there was a Busta Rhymes album called Back on My BS in 2009. I don't know. My early aughts rap history is bad. Sorry. But right, so that's that phrase, back on my bullshit. Like, and that extended sense of like, back on my argument. An argument is a statement that you make, sort of a claim you stake. And so being back on your bullshit is like, I'm going back to this claim I've staked. Back on my bullshit, like, has almost no negative, like, vibe, like, no negative connotation. Like, you see it on Instagram or Twitter or social media all the time when people are doing something they really enjoy, as opposed to something that, you know, they've made an argument about it, or it's something that other people find irritating. Maybe other people find it irritating, but they're claiming that as theirs. Like, yeah.
That's interesting, because like, I always interpret it as being slightly negative, but in that last sense, like, other people probably think this is bullshit.
Right.
That's
right.
Fine. Right. I'm still going to do it.
I myself am back on it. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I was thinking about the sense that you talked about not long after 1914 with, like, you know, chores or whatever, or, you know, that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. I think there must be a slight different use of bullshit here if you're like, okay, I gotta go do this bullshit, versus a kid being like, this is bullshit when they are told to do their chores.
Right. Yeah, totally. So like, that's an interesting thing about profanity, right? Is that every use of it has a slightly different tone or register. So you can have things like back on my bullshit, which doesn't have a negative or disparaging connotation to it, but like, this is bullshit clearly has a disparaging, like, you say that to disparage something,
right?
So that other use of like, something is just irritating, that slightly ameliorated use is like, it's still an offensive word, because you wouldn't say it, like, I was going to say you wouldn't say it in front of your grandmother, but I would say it in front of my grandmother. You wouldn't say it in front of like a fictional grandma. Let's do that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the disparaging sense. It's just like, it's kind of like an extension of shit, where shit just means the things that I have around me or the things I need to do. Like you go, I have to go clean up all this shit. Like, you know, it's not, you're not disparaging the things. You're just saying like, this thing I'm about to do is useless and I don't like it. But it doesn't have the same force as calling someone or something else or something that someone says bullshit.
Wait a second. So have I ever called someone like your bullshit? Do people do that?
Yeah. I would call someone who is who I think is kind of scammy, I might call them bullshit. Like you're bullshit.
Right.
Like Nexium, like cult leaders are bullshit. Your bullshit.
I want to call the Nexium leader something worse than bullshit.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Because
Yeah.
This is fair. More like a financial scam or something. You
right.
know? Like,
okay. Not, so someone who's in like a pyramid scheme trying to sell me something. Your bullshit.
Yeah. Right. I might call someone who's trying to sell me leggings bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was because he was raising a child, but my dad always said bull, not bullshit. So what about, what is that? Do we see that use? You know, it just depends on the person if they don't want to say the whole thing or what?
Yeah, it totally depends on the person. Bull is, I mean, bullshit is easy to shorten to bull because there was already that meaning in English of bull to refer to something that was useless. And that sense, I want to clarify, that sense of bull, that earlier bull that I was talking about that sort of probably led to the compound bullshit actually does not come from the cow meaning. It's probably, we don't know where its origin is from, but we are pretty sure that it is not tied to the name for the male of the, you know, bovine species. So there are a couple of like cognate terms. So in Old French, there's a word bol, which means like trickery, deceit. In Icelandic, the word bol means nonsense. Middle English, bol means falsehood. So there's kind of a bunch of terms that all sort of show up at the same time that are essentially bol, that basically mean the same thing. But we don't know where that's from. But we're pretty sure it's not from the name of the animal, because we don't have any evidence in writing that it was ever tied to the animal, right? So it's like, this is making the etymological sausage. The way that you trace words back to previous cognates is a lot of times words will show up in a context where you can see the connection, right? So with like the word okay, we have that, we know where okay came from because we have it in writing in the 1800s. That okay was a facetious spelling of all correct. And we know that that's the case because we have this long newspaper trail of people talking about this fad for facetious spellings. It was always blamed on young people. Like, all this stuff is blamed on young people, but I am unconvinced that this was a young person thing. So when you're doing etymology, particularly if you think like, oh, well, bullshit must come from the cow, you'd want to see some kind of evidence of some kind of like linguistic pyrotechnics or like semantic pyrotechnics where you can see someone might be saying, you know, this has as much worth as the shit of a bull. Like, then you'd be like, oh, okay. All right. Now that's tied to the animal. So so because we don't have any clear tie between this particular bull that means deceit or trickery and the animal, like there's no way that the animal meaning like has any branches that might get close to this meaning of fraud, trickery, deceit, nonsense. Because of that, we have to say that like, we can't tie that directly back to the word bull that refers to the male cow.
It's interesting though, because like that's how I interpreted as a child, that it really did refer to bull, like the animal.
Right.
So it's interesting, like, I think that at least I did. Some people just interpret it to mean the animal, like the excrement, but that's not how it originally came into English, and that is fascinating. I did not know that.
Well, you know, English also has all of these, we have all these other shit compounds that have animals in front of them. So we have, you know, we have horse shit, so like, well, and we have ape shit and chicken shit and bat shit. So you'd be like, okay, well, bull, that must refer to the cow, which is also interesting. It was like, why would it be a bull? Why would it not be cow shit? Like,
because bulls are bigger?
I don't know. So more shit?
Yeah. I don't know.
Cows in general are just large. I don't know.
They are very large.
The podcast where you learn
about animal sizes.
Yep, that's us.
Okay, I have to ask, because you brought them up, ape shit, bat shit, chicken shit, all of these mean, or well, ape shit and bat shit are kind of the same to me, and then chicken shit is different,
right?
And bullshit's different,
right?
How the heck, like, is this about animal sizes? Like, why do we get these such different Like, do we assume that chickens are scared of things? Is that why we
well,
think
they are. They're very skittish creatures. They right, are.
They are.
I mean, reasonably so.
Right. If I saw death at every turn, I also would be scared exactly. constantly. Yes. Yeah. Right.
Yes.
So some of these come from the, I mean, a lot of these are sort of analogous to the animal behavior that we assign them, right? So apeshit comes from, we first get apeshit in the phrase go apeshit and also go ape. Those are both reported at the same time in a linguistics journal. So like, anytime you have reported speech in a linguistics journal or anything, or a dictionary, it always makes me sad because it's like, ugh. Yeah. I'm sure that it was in use, but it would just be nice to have actual, not analyzed.
Not as organic, right?
Yeah, yeah. Organic use is better. And those are clearly sort of the early meanings of go apeshit and apeshit had to do with sort of intensity, craziness, aggressiveness. Like these are things that we assigned to apes. These are traits that we assigned to apes. So that's apeshit was that. And I think the shit there is just added as like an intensifier to like, it doesn't have any lexical meaning. It's not like go ape shit, like the shit of apes is crazier than it doesn't. It's right, just an intensifier. Right. I should also say like when you're doing lexicography and you're tracing word histories, you can only rely on what's written down. And that sucks because most yeah. language happens in speech. Like you have language and then you have writing. That's how it works. And we look at writing, though you can occasionally find now that we have, you know, the glories of the internet and YouTube and things like that, you can hear things spoken. But usually for stuff that's pre-1980, 1985, where you have television archives, we just have to go off of writing.
And that, you know, means also that you kind of are not getting perhaps like the historically marginalized
totally
in their use.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And you're not, it's not just that you're not getting, you know, minoritized and marginalized speakers or writers, but this gets into this huge issue of what's considered worth keeping. Like, and what's considered worth, I mean, you could write whole books on, for instance, when dictionaries start looking for sources to mine for new words or to, like, when I worked at Merriam-Webster, when I started 8,000 years ago, we only read printed, edited materials, even though the internet was around. Like, it was like, no, that's not edited. We're going to catch a lot of errors. But that means that we actually caught, we didn't catch a lot of stuff that was either just being made or just on the rise or only used in like only used on Live Journal or Tumblr. Like that's how
Live
old
Journal.
We were. Yeah. Like, woohoo. Yeah. So yeah, you totally, so much of this, when we talk about, this is when this word was for, you know, lexicographers are really careful to say, this is when this word was first used. We don't say this is when this word was coined or made, because we will, you know, 99.9998% of the time, we don't know who coined it. We don't know who first said it. Even if someone claims to be the first person to have said it, like words sometimes arise independently in different contexts at exactly the same time.
So we'll never know for sure if Ezra Pound was it
right. He's the first written record we have so far until someone digitizes someone else's letters. And then we've got that.
Yes.
So anyway, getting back now
to chicken
yes. shit and ape shit. And so ape shit, the behavior of apes, that's where we get that from. Bat shit is not the behavior of bats, but it's a play on earlier uses of like bats in the belfry or batty, meaning crazy. There are a lot of people who are like, no, it's because exposure to bat guano gives you mental illness. And it's like, that might be true, but that's not where the word comes from. Chicken shit is just added as an intensifier to the adjective chicken, which meant cowardly. Chicken shit, and I think bat shit are both military slang. Chicken shit, I know, is Air Force slang. Came in early 20th century. And yeah, it is this idea that chickens are cowardly. And so there we go. Horse shit has use referring to like horse dung for hundreds of years. And then it gains another sense of sort of nonsense, but horse shit and bullshit, slightly different connotations. Like horse shit implies like absolute deception, where like that's horse shit. Like you are lying to me. Whereas bullshit is more like, well, it just doesn't, like, that's nonsense. There's a little bit of overlap. There's a Venn diagram. But horseshit does have a more, like, deprecatory meaning. Like, it is definitely more disparaging. There's definitely a sense that if someone says something that is horseshit, there is an intent to deceive. Whereas with bullshit, it can just be like, well, that's just what you're saying doesn't make sense. It's not that you're actively lying to me. Sometimes it is, but... that's the animal shit.
So we can't say I'm back on my horse shit, because then we're just calling ourselves liars.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No. You also can't say you're back on your bat shit. That would be...
that's even weirder to me.
There are people that I think are back on bat shit, but like...
oh, yeah.
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 Not a thing I will claim for myself.
I think that I'm back on my chicken shit. Yes. That is kind of how I go throughout life. It's kind of like a chicken who's like, what might kill me?
Yeah.
Emotionally or not.
Yeah.
Emotionally or physically.
Yeah. I think most of us are that way. I think most of us are there.
It's fight or flight. Come on.
Yeah. Totally. Totally.
Are there any other ways bullshit is used? Like, do I say bullshittery? I think I've said bullshittery
before.
Oh,
I've said bullshittery.
Yeah.
For sure.
And you can use it as a verb to refer to like lying to someone, like quit bullshitting me. And that's a use of bullshit that just refers to lying. It doesn't mean to like, you know, talking nonsense. It refers specifically to lying.
Yeah.
It's not quite as versatile as fuck.
No, sadly.
It's okay. It's okay. Shit.
It's pretty good though.
No, it is. I mean, I think it's my second favorite. I mean, fuck is definitely my first.
Yeah, yeah. It's very evocative, right? Gives like, apeshit paints a very specific picture in your mind.
Yes.
Yeah. Visceral.
Visceral, exactly.
Full circle, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we going to have a warning on this episode about all the animal shit?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, all sorts of parental, you know, content notes. Like,
oh my god, I wonder if the equivalent, like in different languages. I mean, I don't know, like a bullshit, what it is in different languages. You know, a kind of an equivalent kind of feel.
Yeah.
Do you know of any?
I don't know. Chance? I mean, the only modern languages I know anything about are German and Finnish. I'm sorry. That's all very weird. ASL definitely borrowed bullshit from English. Yes. Isn't the ASL sign this? It's like no one can
see it.
It's horns and you've got your two forearms on top of each other. Your right hand is making like hook 'em horns and your left hand clasps and unclasps. Bullshit.
Oh, because is that the shit part?
That's the shit part. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen people do it. And I was like, oh. Right. But then they're like borrowing it, the meaning that I thought bullshit had.
Right.
As like the animal one. So it's interesting. Right.
Yeah. I mean, so in German, Scheiße shit is pretty mild. It's not a really, I don't think it's got the intensity of shit in English. And in Finnish, shit is not really a like, it's not one of the big swear categories, weirdly enough. Like,
what's the big swear category in Finnish?
Oh my god! So there's two. The one that it's sexual swears, dick, press, or piss, and then the C word, which I won't say because it is offensive to many people. But the big one that if you're in Finland and you say this, people will. And it's a very quiet country and it's very like socially liberal country. So no one will look you in the eye. But if you say any of these words, people will sort of give you side eye. And that is Perkele and Satana. And that means devil and Satan. So to say like, voy Perkele, it's like, that's like saying fuckity fuck here. Like people just be like, oh,
my goodness. Are they religious?
I mean, no, it's not a religious country, but they have a state religion. They've been like either a part of the Duchy of Russia or were part of the Swedish Empire for most of their history. And so like heavy Lutheran and Russian Orthodox influences on the culture. But no, just like Perkele Satana. That's like the worst possible thing you could say in Finnish. I apologize to any Finns who are listening.
That reminds me of just how, like, I think it was, I've been reading Arthur Spears, a linguist, is saying, like, what is vulgar is going to be different to different people. It's different, you know, even within the same country, city, because there are different groups within, you know.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's, mm-hmm. it's very, the social context is very important.
And the social context changes all the time, too.
Yeah.
It's really like, I mean, at the beginning of the episode, we were talking about, you know, back in the 80s and 90s when you started getting unbleeped swears in like 9 p.m. police procedurals on ABC or NBC. And like, that's unheard. Like, I tell my kids that. I have two adult children. And I tell my kids, like, you could not say ass or shit on network television. And they're like, what? How? Like, they also don't know what network television is. They've grown up in a streaming era. So they're like, right. I don't, what do you, like, cable? Like, no. But, and it changes, it doesn't just change throughout time. It changes depending on the speaking or signing group. It changes based on the user. It changes based on the hearer. It changes based on the context in which things are uttered. My dad was a construction worker. So like swore constantly and like would call someone a bullshitter as sort of like a, you know, a mild term of endearment. But if someone really offended him, then that person was a fucking liar. Like, so there's just like, but if I call someone a bullshitter, they're not going to think that's endearing. Like,
right.
So it's, and that's one of the things that gets really hard about when we talk about offensive words or profanity or vulgar words. Those things all, you know, traditionally when we talk about vulgarity or offensiveness, we are privileging a very particular kind of English that is highly formal, incredibly white, educated, mostly male, doesn't, you know, written. Like, so when people are like, well, that's offensive, to some people it's offensive, to other people it's not offensive. It gets really tricky then just to have these hard and fast divisions of, like, this is absolutely offensive. I mean, I'm currently working for a company that writes dictionary definitions for adults learning English as a foreign language, and I love the work, but this kind of stuff is so difficult to try and explain. Like, I don't want adult learners of English to think that bullshit is just as bad as like fuck, but we only have one label. Like, that's all the dictionaries end up using is like this one label. And for me to explain how those two things are different is like, that's a book chapter. And, like,
yeah, that's really difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they're like in a workplace, maybe it's better to err on the side of not using bullshit.
Yeah.
So hard to gauge without a bunch of extra information.
Yeah. And, you know, like British offensive terms are really different from American offensive terms.
Really different.
Yeah. And do you want to be, you know, do you want to give someone sort of the highest register, most formal use, but then that really disadvantages them if they, you know, take a trip to, I don't know, Massachusetts, like, or Denver or LA, and everyone around them is swearing. Like, it just gets super, super hard after a while. So,
yeah, you said at the beginning, though, that shit wasn't like a vulgar or offensive word in English.
Not when it first came into English. It was.
Is that because of the social context? People were like, "Do we shit? Like, that's what we do, and like, it's not a clean world." Or
yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, early on, the earliest uses of shit actually had to do with like cattle diseases, like diarrhea in cattle mostly. And so, but there's also the idea of profanity. It's not like there weren't profane things to say in Old English, but once you get this really heavy French and Latin influence into the English language starting in, you know, the 12th century, a little bit the 11th century, but really the 12th century, then you start seeing sort of this, first you start getting just general comments about how English has just gone downhill, and some of them are really funny. Some of them are like, man, we got all these French people in here and they don't know how to speak English. But most of them, because French and Latin were the literary languages, most of them then were people saying like, ugh, you know, the Danes, which is what they considered all of the Old English speakers, like these Danes are just ruining language and everything that they say. It's a whole lot of speech stuff, like all the things they say, it's just grinding of teeth and gnashing and wailing. And so that starts this bifurcation of like, we have nice English and we have bad English. And eventually as that fleshes out, and a lot of that has to do with who is in power, what was the educational opportunity of the people in power? Where were they coming from? You know, England was ruled like by the French for like hundreds of years. And then when the Welsh took over, the Tudor line took over, everyone was like, ah, the Welsh, ugh. You know, it's just like.
And that's still going on to this day.
Yeah, I would say not a whole lot has changed in 700 years. But so the idea then of like profanity itself really starts coming in, I want to say like 1400s. And that when they're talking about profanity, they're talking about things that are profane, not just, well, shit is an offensive word, but the idea that taking God's name in vain is offensive, or, you know, as we go along these Shakespearean, you know, exclamations like swoons, you know, by God's wounds, or, you know, s'blood, guy by God's blood, odds bodkins. It's my favorite. God's bodkin. Like, don't have any idea why it's offensive, but like, there we go. There was definitely this era of like anything having to do with calling on or swearing on God's name, God's body, any parts of the crucifixion, resurrection, then that sort of goes out into like saints or, so that's really what profanity started meaning. But particularly as courtly manners came in, 1400s, 1500s, then there were just certain things we don't talk about in polite company. And that's where the idea of certain words being offensive, like shit being offensive, or even like early uses of fuck being offensive. It's like, well, we don't talk about that in polite company. Like, that's just we didn't have that linguistically until like halfway through, well, towards the end of the Middle Ages, really. If you think of the long Middle Ages being 500 to 1500, which is just a bad, I don't like putting dates on the Middle Ages. But yeah. So when shit was first used in Old English, it was just, I mean, the word in Old English is skiton, which makes me think of the word skitters, which was like a juvenile way of talking about diarrhea, like where I grew up, like he's got the skitters. Isn't that weird?
That sounds awful.
It does sound terrible.
That's my moist.
Yeah. There we go. I've done it.
Wait, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Colorado, but I grew up in a weird space. So I had like, my dad's family were all from Kentuckiana. So I had a whole lot of like Appalachian English in my vocab.
Okay.
And then, but I also grew up in a Mexican neighborhood. So I learned how to swear in Mexican Spanish at the same time that I learned how to swear. Oh yeah. It was great. That is all the Spanish I remember. So I don't say any of it anymore, but... So I got like weird linguistic influences. And when I grew up too, Denver was not super cosmopolitan. It was still kind of, there were places that were still kind of like old westy feeling. So you would get like, not prairie language, but like definitely I had neighbors that, you know, who are like 80 and 90 who were Okies that came up to Denver like after, like during the Dust Bowl as children. And it was just a weird space. Another reason why when people are like, oh, where'd you grow up? What's your language like? I'm like, it's a mess. Like everybody's English is a big old, you know, mess of like influence from all over the place. So,
well, so thinking about all that, I'm just like thinking about today and thinking about Microsoft Word telling me that someone's going to be offended.
Well, they're not wrong. Are we,
I know, but are people still like, is it a visceral reaction to shit? Like the shit part, because it's still talking about like bodily stuff and we just don't talk about that in polite company.
I mean, I'm sure it is for some people, but I do think, I mean, this is also another thing when we talk about tone and register of words is you tend to think of like when you read academic writing by people who are studying profanity, for instance, like those are usually professors or writers who are like adults and are in academia or are out of, like my kids think nothing about the word shit, like in the literal sense, I love my kids so much, but like, I have a little bit of a like, ugh, when they're like, I gotta go take a shit. I'm like, really?
I don't need that level of detail.
Yeah, like, you know where the bathroom is. You don't need to tell me what's happening in there. Like, it's like, if you've got an arterial bleed, then call me. Otherwise, don't need to know, right? My mother, who's in her 70s, be horrified if someone said that. So, like, right? Some of this is age, some of this is class, some of this is issues of ethnicity, race, like what's familiar among different groups of people. And so I think any kind of writing advice is always going to err on the most conservative side, right? Yeah. So Microsoft Word is going to be like the figurative grandma in your head that is not like any grandma, but like is the archetypal, like the or grandma will be offended by these words. So,
and some bosses would be. It's not bad advice. Yeah. It's just a little bit blunt.
Right. Don't you think, I mean, when people use like word like bullshit, they know what they're doing. But right. I guess because it didn't used to do this with words like bullshit. This seems to be like a new, as Microsoft is adding more features,
right.
It's now having these things.
Well, that's like, Well, that's like the thing on Twitter that rolled out a little while ago that was like, anytime you swear, you use a word on their stop list, basically. They're like, this might offend people. Yeah, are you sure you want to say that? It's like, yes, I am a motherfucking adult and I want to use the word motherfucking in this tweet. Thank you very much. Like,
exactly.
I actually have like, I've hit that a couple of times and have had such a bad reaction that I'll make whatever swear I've put in stronger. So like, if it's just like a fucking, I'll be like, oh, you want to play that? All right. And then I'll make it motherfucking. I'm like, I can do this.
Yeah.
Like, don't step to me.
It's only happened to me once and I was very mad. And then I thought about it and I was like, okay, I'm still going to do the tweet. I'm not going to stop. It's not going to stop me. But then I thought maybe it does stop some people who are just like, just really angry and need to pause. But I'm like, but probably not, because all it did was make me want to post harder.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what the answer
is. Harder.
Post harder.
Post harder.
Sin boldly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I would love linguists out there who might be listening and have tons of time and want to write this paper. I would read this paper. I would love to do like also a gender-based, like how do people who are women, men, trans, non-binary, agender, like how do you respond to that, right? Because my immediate thought is like, well, I as a woman am often policed for swearing because that's not ladylike. And, you know, I did a million and a half years ago, I did a podcast with another lexicographer, Steve Kleinedler. And one of the comments that we would always get is like, my, I mean, people centered on my language and my voice and whatever, but like my swearing set people off. And the same when I released my book, like all of the 1-star reviews on Amazon are like, there's no need to swear. And it's like, well, I mean, I wrote a whole chapter on the word bitch. How am I going to talk about the word bitch and not swear? Like,
yeah,
this is how I talk. And so I get hyper, like I'm hyper sensitive to that because I get criticized for right. swearing because ladies aren't supposed to swear.
Yes. So we were supposed to actually ask you about that. So I was glad that, I'm glad that you brought that up. I completely forgot.
And it makes me think that people weren't mad at Nicolas Cage in History of Swear Words, were they? They probably thought it was cool that they got to see him say all those words.
Probably.
Samuel Jackson, when he said, or the motherfucking snakes on the motherfucking plane, was super cool.
Right.
But if a woman had said that, it would have been as cool. I don't know.
Well, also context too, right? Like, it's one thing to see it written down in a book that you think is going to be like a scholarly disquisition on lexicography, which is just not my John. I don't do scholarly disquisition. Like,
right.
And that's fine. If you picked it up thinking like, oh, this is going to be like Sidney Landau's Lexicography, the Art and Craft of Dictionary Making. Like, I'm not Sidney Landau. His book is great. If you want a scholarly book on lexicography, read that book. Like, I'm a cussy lady who likes to write about weird words. That's fine.
Yeah, I love it. So. I love that about you. Love it about you.
I'm a cussy lady.
Cussy lady.
Well, this was so much fun. Thank you for celebrating our fifth anniversary with us, Corey.
Yeah. Thanks for having a fifth anniversary.
Woo!
Yay!
Yeah.
I can't believe I learned so much about Bull.
I know.
I didn't know any of that. Wow.
I think that everything was new to me. So thank you. And, you know, I got to say before we go, I don't ever associate bullshit with like the animal bull. Like I never did. It does not come to me.
All right.
And then Carrie said it did come to her.
But... that's what I thought it meant. And when you say, even when someone says bull and they mean bullshit, I would see bullshit.
A bull?
Bullshit.
Like a bull's.
A bull's shitting.
Not necessarily shitting. Maybe the excrement. Maybe just the excrement. But okay, so from a bull.
Not in process.
Okay. No, I'm not an in process person.
All right.
I'm a still image person.
Right. Got it.
Well, Corey, come back when your next book's out.
You bet. I will.
That's good. And we leave our listeners with one final message.
Don't be an asshole.
Please do not.
The Vocal Fries podcast is produced by me, Carrie Gillen, for Halftone Audio. Theme music by Nick Granum. You can find us on Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Vocal Fries Pod. You can email us at vocalfriespod@gmail.com, and our website is vocalfriespod.com.